The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So if what you're interested in is mindfulness, to be mindful, it's important to distinguish that from daydreaming or ruminating or indulging or in being involved in what's happening with your... To be mindful, to be really clearly mindful, is to have a clear awareness of what's happening without being entangled with what's happening, without being involved with what's happening, without being resistant to what's happening. It's certainly fine to be involved. It's fine to be resistant sometimes to some things. And could you turn the volume up because of the leaf blower? So let's see, is that a little bit better? So there's time and place for being involved with things and time and place to be resistant to things. But to be mindful in and of itself is to create space and awareness of the present moment thing as it is and allowing it to be as it is. Just clearly see what's happening here. In some ways, it's a radically different way of being in the world than how we usually are, where we're often involved or resistant or reacting to what's going on. And sometimes it's hard to kind of come to that kind of, even to feel justified, to feel it's appropriate to step back. Some people feel that's a betrayal to their life, to their emotions, to their thoughts, to whatever. To step back and just be mindful of it without some taking responsibility or some involvement or some doing or trying to fix something, always trying to fix something or do something. And this can be very tricky with our emotional lives. We have these wonderful emotional lives where we have a full range of different emotions that can come. And some people feel very identified with their emotions. Some people disidentify with their emotions. Both can be either over involvement or under involvement with them, dismissing of them or over evaluation of them. And there's can be a lot of reactions to emotions and a lot of complicated relationships we have with them. But I'd like to offer you a particular approach that can work with many things, but I think so particularly associated with emotions. And the emotion that I associated most with is fear. And that is, when we're trying to be mindful of fear, we want to help the fear that we have. So your anxiety, fear, terror, whatever you're feeling, whatever is going on for you, you want to help your fear feel safe. Help your fear feel safe. And what is it going to be safe from? Well, let's make the context meditation practice for now. So hopefully when you sit down to meditate, you do it in a safe place. You know, it's just a kind of a place you can kind of trust and relax, and it's basically safe. And so that the only situation, the only person that you need to make your fear safe from is guess who? Is you. And so what does it mean to make your fear safe from you? So one approach would be I got to fix my fear. Fear doesn't feel safe if someone wants to fix them. I mean, if you have a friend who's always trying to fix you, you probably wouldn't feel very comfortable with that friend. Oh no, I'm with that friend and they're going to be working on me. And, you know, and you know, the person just won't accept me as I am. I'm always, you know, I'm a project for them. You know, you'd probably stop hanging out with a friend. Maybe you have parents or relatives who are always, you know, trying to fix you and do you up or something. You're their project. So the same thing with your fear inside. If your fear is almost like a being, if it feels like you're always trying to fix it, it's not going to feel very good. Or if you are angry at your fear, judging it, oh, you know, I'm so anxious and I shouldn't be an anxious person. There are all these good Buddhists around me. They're sitting quietly and meditating. They're all so peaceful and there's no anxiety except here at IMC whatsoever, except in me. And I'm just, you know, a Buddhist loser, you know, whatever. You know, probably no Buddhists have ever had fear before, but here, you know, me. And so, you know, fear is not going to feel safe if it's, you know, if that kind of judgment and it comes along with it. Or if you have all kinds of strategies of escaping it, avoiding it, then fantasy is a great way. Go into fantasy. And then the fear doesn't feel really safe either. It's not seen, it's ignored. How would you feel if you came into a group of friends or someone and they just ignored you? You wouldn't feel safe. So to help your fear feel safe, it has to feel like it's okay to be afraid. It has to feel there's no project or expectations or demands on it. You're not trying to do something with it, that the fear is just allowed to be there in an open, relaxed way. Just let it be there. I think now you can turn it down maybe. Yeah, the danger is when it's too high that we get the feedback. I think the blower is further away now. So can you hear okay now still? So when you have an emotion, that especially one that's difficult, but sometimes you know, enjoyable emotions, some people have trouble with those, is to make it the task to help your emotion feel safe. Which means another way of saying this is that give it a chance to be in the sun. If someone's never been in the sun, then you finally you've gotten the sun, you can really absorb it and take it in and enjoy it. So the sun of awareness. Let something arise, just let it be there. And see if you can just really let it be as it is in its pristine glory of the individual thing. The pristine simplicity of sadness. The pristine simplicity of grief. The pristine simplicity of anger. The pristine simplicity of fear. Is there some ways? Can you get down just to hold it? And the image I love is that cupping my hands together, like together from underneath, and coming from underneath and just holding my experience. So if there's fear, if there's anger, don't make it a problem. As soon as you think it's a problem, then it's not going to feel safe. Because a problem is an evaluation. Problem is a judgment, an idea, that your interpretation of the situation. And to be afraid, does it have to be a problem? It's just fear. And it's the simple, pristine presence of fear in and of itself. It's your generosity. It's your strength. It's your confidence that can be mustered up just enough that you can come close to this inner life that you have and help it feel safe. Help, it's okay. It's okay. So a number of things happen when you do that. One is that we stop our over-involvement with our inner life, analyzing it, judging it, fixing it, avoiding it, manipulating it, bargaining with it, all this kind of involvement we have with believing it, you know, reacting to it. And a lot of our inner life is actually, occurs in the wake of reactivity. And sometimes this reactivity goes on for years and decades, just one thing after another. And so when we finally let things be safe, just let it be, it pulls the rug from underneath all this incessant activity, reactivity, which sometimes defines our inner life. And that stuff begins to settle down and relax. And there can be a deeper and deeper relaxation, deeper feeling of being at home, of being at peace, just being here. And it's remarkable how much settling can happen when we stop all our doing. When we just, in this kind of just making it safe is a kind of ending of doing, of fixing and doing all that. So some people find it very helpful that. The other is that it also allows some inner process to unfold, the inner psychological process, that might be very different than what you think is supposed to happen. And generally, I think, let me say it this way, that your inner life, your body, is probably wiser than your conscious mind. And so if you're negotiating your life only through your conscious mind, you're limiting the full resources of who you are and the full wisdom of what needs to happen and what needs to be processed and unfold. And so to allow, get permission for something to be there, full permission to be there and to feel safe, it allows the wider, bigger set of resources of who we are internally to begin to manifest and to show and to unfold. That's very different than if we live through our expectations and our plans and, you know, we bring out the Vipassana manual, you know, the mindfulness manual that's like, this is what's supposed to happen next or something. It also, the other thing it does is it begins showing, developing a capacity to be present for our life without automatically reacting, without automatically judging, without automatically somehow identifying what's going on. And that can just, it could be just a momentary gap of just being present without reactivity, without judgment and interpretation. Or it could be extended where there's a period of just kind of being open and present for this experience. One way describing this kind of is if you're listening really well to a friend of yours who's talking, just really there, just allowing them to talk, just not interpreting, not rushing to speak, not doing anything, just listening. And they stop speaking. And after they stop speaking, you're still listening. Your listening continues. There's silence, but you kind of, there's still time to listen. There's nothing to do, you don't have to make anything happen, you're not rushing ahead, there's nothing that has to happen. But you find yourself, you're still listening. And then after a while, oh, you know, they stop talking. Maybe there's something to say now, maybe now it's my turn. But to have this ability, this capacity to not be an automatic pilot, to not be habitually responsive. So there's a lot of benefits that you'll get if you help your inner life feel safe. So if you're one of those people who has an inner life, and you, from time to time, or regularly, you feel anxious and afraid, help your fear feel safe. If from time to time or regularly you feel anger, be present for your anger with a sense you can allow your anger to feel safe. If you have sadness and grief, help that feel safe within you, just so you can just be there. No hurry to do anything. And if you feel happy, let that feel safe inside of you. And your happiness, paradoxically, will not be safe if you identify it, get involved with it, cling to it, try to make it continue. It's okay. Let it be as it is. So I hope that your inner life can have the wonderful benefits of feeling safety. That's the best in you will come out in a in a field of safety. Thank you.